I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, panelists discuss resignations at the ACCPD, the latest developments at the Classic Center, and the investigation into a UGA library employee after emailing a letter regarding immigrants. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald, Blake Odd from Flagpole, and Maggie Holland from the Red and Black. And welcome, Maggie. It's your first time, so thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And we will start with our first topic, and that's a lot of, there are two resignations, two pretty prominent resignations at the Athens Clark County Police Department, and it started with Chief Freeman, and now it's kind of had a domino effect with...
I don't know if it's a domino effect, but of course we talked about Chief Freeman on the show 2 weeks ago, and now Justin Gregory, the deputy chief, has submitted his resignation, but Chief Gregory says that it's not related to Chief Freeman being forced to resign. He says that he's been considering a career change for about a year now and kind of just wanted to get out of law enforcement, and so he's going ahead and doing that, and he'll be staying on for another week or two, to kind of make the transition. And there's an interim chief now, Mike Hunsinger, of course, is going to want to set up his own organization, and then a nationwide search happening where, eventually we'll get a new permanent chief who's going to want to put his own people in. So, it's not an unexpected move.
Right.
It's good timing if you were considering doing something
right.
like that.
He has been in law enforcement, I believe it was 23 years.
23 years, yeah.
And he wasn't at the department when Chief Freeman first came. He had left Athens.
No, he had left and gone to work for the University Police Department, and then Chief Freeman hired him back at ACCPD in 2015.
So that's a little history. But, it makes sense that he would step down after your chief. The chief who brought you back leaves.
I mean, there's always a lot of things that are in flux. I mean, you see this anytime there's a change at the top of any organization. I mean, we saw it with the school district when Superintendent Means came on, and of course you want to put your own people in. So there are a lot of people who, if they're near retirement age, maybe they retire, maybe they go do something else, it's just a normal kind of facet of a change in leadership. And, we saw it when Chief Freeman came on, and, as we're going to be talking about, the reorganization of the department that he undertook when he came on 3 years ago was part of what led to his resignation sorry, go ahead, Lee.
One thing that was different about what he did than, say, a football team or what Dr. Means did, too, I think, was that Freeman demoted people. I mean, football coach say goodbye, and you just put your own new people in, and I can kind of understand where that might have been a factor later on, something that might have festered.
Yeah, and
right.
I know it festered for Mark Sizemore, who was one of the majors who was demoted to captain, one of four, because that's something that he mentioned in some of the documents that we got from an open records request, that he had been demoted and put into a position as a captain where he didn't really have anything to do. He almost felt like it was kind of a make-work position, and now he left. He's the chief of police at the school district now, and then two of the other majors have retired, and Hunsinger was the fourth major, and, of course, he's now the interim chief.
Yeah, do you think that, y'all have gotten, as our police reporter Joe Johnson, documents requested under open records, and they seem to me to give maybe more credibility to the whole management style justification for asking for Freeman's resignation. What do you think?
I mean, that was definitely there. I mean, there was some dissatisfaction. But when I saw who Blaine Williams, the manager, talked to, it kind of gave me a little bit of doubt because he only interviewed five people. You know, and that was what the decision was based on. And there were a lot of exit interviews, and they were pretty split. You know, there were a lot of people who didn't like the leadership, and there were a lot of people who did, you know, who were leaving for other reasons because they got a better job or they were moving out of state for various different reasons. I mean, there were a lot of reasons given why people were leaving, and the attrition problem did not seem that bad. There were more this year, or there was about the same number this year as there were in years past. But
it's always hard to judge.
Only for a partial year.
What attrition numbers mean.
You know, but it's been about 30 every year, and so I don't know. It didn't look like the crisis that it was made out to be to me, just looking at those numbers.
And it's a problem, it seems, nationwide. Blaine did point that out. Blaine Williams pointed that out, that nationwide
right.
law enforcement's having some issues.
Yeah, and especially in Georgia, because a lot of folks are leaving to go to work for state agencies now because a year or two ago they got a big raise, so they make a lot more money now than local, than they pay at local agencies.
Yeah.
So, the perception was there, you know, and this is what Blaine Williams has said all along, is like, I don't even know if it's true or not, but it's a perception, and perception is reality, basically. I think there were some issues in general with just kind of politics. I think there were a lot of people who probably are politically conservative people who don't like the politics of Athens and don't like G. Freeman's politics, and don't like our judicial system. There was a lot of people who were critical of the courts being too lenient.
Our accountability courts, or no?
Well, just the sentences that were handed to
lots of things going on.
Right, bail reform was mentioned, the sentences being handed down. One thing in particular that was talked about was Justin Scott, who was the 20-something-year-old kid who was shot by the officer at the gas station a couple of years ago when he reached for his gun. He got like 2 years probation or something, I think, and that upset people, that upset officers.
Right.
He didn't feel like that was enough, and, you know, so just kind of the climate of Athens.
How are people blaming Scott Freeman for what a judge
does? I don't think they're blaming Freeman for that. I just think it's the overall atmosphere of Athens, and I think one of the problems is we have officers who are not, just don't seem to like Athens very much, and don't seem to understand Athens, and... You know, I think maybe we need more officers, and we're getting them from all different places. You know, and a lot of these places are places that are very different from Athens. And I think we need more officers who live in Athens and know Athens and like Athens.
That'd be a big plus.
And a lot of them don't,
it
seems
like. What kind of person wants to become a police officer? That's, you can't really answer that question. Lots of people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great if you enjoy the environment that you live in and work in. It's kind of a difficult, because Athens is very different from the surrounding communities.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Well, it's not this bail thing. It's a state policy originated by Nathan Deal 7 years ago and so forth to get people out of jail, get people out of prison. And that is a continuing process, and we're going to see more of it. So, I don't know.
That doesn't seem to be a negative process if you can...
Well, I talked to a very conservative bail bondsman the other day, and he thinks it's real negative. It's hurting his business, of course.
Of course.
But also, they bring forth the argument that we're turning criminals loose, and it's a danger to society. Well, the stats don't bear that out, but it's... something that people are going to be thinking about and watching for.
It's the perception, as you said. Perception is reality. But crime has really gone down.
It's gone down. It went down this year again,
you know,
locally and nationally, I think. And, yeah, well, I just want to mention real quick what I was talking about earlier. It occurred to me that somebody might think I was talking about our current force, and I was talking about the people who've left.
Right.
You know, I mean, just the exit interviews and stuff that I've been going through, so... I don't want anyone to think that I think our current officers are somehow against Athens,
right.
But that is, it seems like a dislike of our politics was a factor in why some of the people who left.
Right.
And bail reform would be one of those things. You know, and we're not talking about violent criminals either.
No, we're talking about property crimes and smoking pot, maybe a little cocaine, but possession. People who are, I mean, they're really trying to tailor these reforms toward people who are not violent offenders, not threats to their neighbors.
It seems like it's working. Something's working. That crime is going down. I guess it's still out on cash bail. We don't know.
It's not. I've been trying to figure this out and haven't. But there's more than just cash bail is going on, too. Judges are now supposed to take into account not just for misdemeanors, but a defendant's ability to pay. Because one of the big criticisms about bail is that it just keeps poor people in jail, which costs everybody money, costs them their jobs and much more.
Well, we will move on. Maggie, you guys have also been covering a letter regarding immigrants that was sent out by a UGA library employee, and there's an investigation going on into that. You know, if nothing else, we did discuss this. Maybe if you're an employee somewhere, be very careful of what you email out using that server,
work
server. But can you tell us a little bit about the letter?
Sure, yeah. So basically, a letter was sent out within a listserv about in response to another thing that went out throughout the listserv. And basically, the letter is criticizing the way that in the letter it says illegal immigrants are, supported, or if individuals, the way that we've been discussing illegal immigrants. And someone took that letter and sent it to a bunch of minority organizations at the University of Georgia. So it was the Hispanic Student Association, but along with that, it was also NAACP and the Multicultural Services and other organizations as well, because they were, I guess, trying to show individuals within the university, like students in the university. I can't speak, you know, on behalf of the actual intentions of sending out that email, but I'm assuming it's just to let them know, like, you know, that this is an opinion that was stated by somebody who does work at the same school as you, or at least that's how it was perceived by a lot of the students. And so I think that the most interesting thing about the letter is really just, like we were mentioning before, it really is just another platform to talk about something that is a hot topic within, you know, the political climate right now. And so seeing the students' reactions, and it's been handed over to EOO, but a lot of the students, their reactions is to call to the university for a response, or to kind of call the juxtaposition from the university saying, I mean, we just got a diversity award like last week, and a lot of them are bringing up the fact that if we're going to get a diversity award and still have this kind of opinion fluctuating throughout the university, that's like the biggest
The
pushback.
University's diversity award seems somewhat ironic to me, considering that the university tries hard, but it has a hard time for many years. It's having a hard time ever becoming diverse.
Oh, yeah. And looking at, like, the location demographics versus the university demographics alone, like, you don't have to look far to see the contrast between who goes to UGA and who even just lives in Athens-Clarke County.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
UGA is 8 or 9% African American, and Athens is about 27 or 28%. But
the state is.
Yeah, the state too. I have some questions about the way the university has handled this, though, that we haven't really gotten answered. And one of them is, well, I wonder why. I guess maybe because it's, I think, Hispanic Heritage Month or something.
Yeah.
This email was sent on June 20th. And then it was anonymously mailed to all these organizations, like you were talking about, 3 months later,
right?
Which seems odd to me. But because it was sent 3 months ago, and the university won't even tell us when they became aware of it or when the EOO investigation started.
Right.
And it seems like a pretty straightforward thing to me because, you know, the employee doesn't deny sending it. And Toby Graham, the head librarian, we have an email from him to his staff saying that it's clearly a violation of their listserv policy. So I don't understand why this isn't kind of an open and shut case and why an EOO investigation would take more than, you know, maybe a couple days. I mean, you know, what are they doing? Why is it taking so long? And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying she should be fired. I don't know what the discipline should be, but it doesn't seem like it is. There's not a whole lot there to investigate.
Do we know when it was reported to the EEO office?
No, they won't tell us.
Yeah.
They won't tell us.
And if it's like, you would think if we were to ask them what was going on that they would have an answer or a decision by now. You know, it's like the fact that it's still under investigation.
Right. And I mean, if they knew about it in June, why has it taken 3 months and they just found out about it at the same time everybody else did, then why weren't they alerted to it earlier?
Mm-hmm. What's the violation about this? What's the violation?
I don't know. I'm just going by what was said in the email, that it was a violation of their listserv policy.
A free speech issue.
Well,
much as we might not.
I think the university has a discrimination and harassment policy,
right.
And I think you could make the argument that the kind of language that was used in this email, even though it wasn't directed at any particular person, you know, it was very hateful language.
And that's what they said they said the reasons behind putting it to EOO to look into, they said for the anti-harassment and everything. So I guess that would be the violation.
I mean, that's
because he's arguing that we should enforce the law. But you can do that in
it also has a lot of, like, very Trump-like language about murderers and criminals and, you know, kind of really casting immigrants in a negative light. And so, I mean, I think if I were someone with a Hispanic heritage, you know, or an immigrant, I mean, I could very well conceivably feel threatened that someone held those kinds of opinions, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Didn't someone say they really felt kind of threatened by this? Did I see that?
Yeah, I mean, the students in general took it very personally, which makes sense, especially since it wasn't directly addressed to any individual, but when it was sent to the people, it was sent directly to the organizations afterward, like 3 months later. And so, yeah, a lot of the students, they found...
Not by this person in the library, but...
Right, from somebody else, yeah.
Some anonymous outer...
And so it wasn't sent directly. It wasn't like a targeted attack toward HSA or NAACP. But the individuals who read it, I mean, it's still very targeting language. And so people, felt like it was personally directed toward them. And, like, one of the women were talking about their mother and how, you know, this is depicting what their mother is and that it's not like, you know, that's like a very unkind way to talk about her mother. So yeah, she felt like also that the university should do something. So it kind of played on each other.
And then lead to an unpopular opinion sometimes, but the person is talking about enforcing the law.
But
not necessarily
so perhaps a hateful way.
The hateful language. And then for the agencies who got it, you know, organizations, they're gonna have ties to people who are gonna feel directly impacted by the language.
Well, and it's also interesting because I know the letter was sent out in response to the Library Association saying that they viewed the Trump immigration separating the families at the border as wrong. And so to play, like, I guess on the other side, you could say that despite the fact that it was hateful language, they're voicing an opinion just as the other, like, in response to an opinion. And so I can't, like, speak for them, but I would think that maybe they felt like they had a platform to voice their opinion because
of what
they got
what aired previously.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, we'll be waiting for the outcome of said investigation. We also have some more developments at the Classic Center. Blake, I know that you can
we've been talking about SPLOST a little bit, and it's that time again.
Right. Didn't we just have a SPLOST?
Yeah. we had a T-SPLOST.
Right.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's right.
T-SPLOST.
This is our regular SPLOST. Gotcha.
SPLOST or SPLOST or however you want to say it.
Gwen says SPLOST in the name of, you know, in a, For Gwen, we'll call it a spielost.
Yeah. In honor, since Gwen can't be with us today,
right.
We're going to say spielost.
We'll say spielost until I forget and go right back to splost.
But the commission had a work session on it, and they're just getting started. And so what they were doing was they were hearing presentations from within the county government about things that county departments are going to propose to be on the splost, which I think they're doing a 6-year splost this time. It's going to be about $160 million that they're going to have to spend if they do that. But there were 70-something projects, and it was a combined total of about $500 million, and that's just from within the county government.
Wow.
That doesn't even count all the things that, like, groups and individuals outside of the government are going to be submitting for consideration. So there's going to be a lot of competition, and, you know, some of the things are, renovating Bishop Park, Memorial Park. There's been talk of a new park on the west side. A lot of it is really kind of boring stuff like road repavings and sidewalks and, you know, things like that that have kind of gotten shunted over to
Splost. I thought T-Splost was supposed to take care
of
that stuff.
Well, it is, but I mean, T-Splost is not nearly enough for all the stuff that needs to be done. We've got like, oh Lord, what was it? Like, we had like a 20-something year backlog of sidewalks, you know? Mm. I mean, T-Splost is not going to get to all that, so...
And Glenn doesn't want us using T-Splos funds for routine maintenance.
Yeah, it's supposed to be special.
Right.
But, I mean, there is, she has a point, but it has become something that governments everywhere rely on for revenue for kind of routine stuff.
Kind of filling in some transportation department dollars.
There's a government complex that could be built that would house all of the county departments. They would sell off some of their buildings downtown. And another big thing, and this was a different meeting, but at the Classic Center, they invited some of the commissioners, well, all of them, only some of them came, but... to talk about Paul Kramer's plan for a new arena, a $75 million arena that he wants partially funded by Splost.
How many people would it seat?
6,000 and then another 1,000 on the floor. And he says he can fill it up 300 nights a year and have sports tournaments there and, Disney on Ice and all concerts and all kinds of stuff. Big conventions, 7,000 people conventions that won't fit now. The numbers look good, you know, but it's going to be a tough sell. I mean, I remember the Grand Hall back in 2011 or 2010, whatever, when, people fought that tooth and nail, and it got on there, but only by the skin of its teeth, and that worked out.
I mean, he's got that record to point to, perhaps.
That worked out, and worked out so well that now they're outgrowing that, so now we need the arena, you know, but... there's going to be a lot of reporting done and a lot of talk about that, I think, before the vote comes.
Without another parking deck.
Yeah.
He said he only thinks that they would need about 300 new parking spaces because they have enough parking and they think a lot of people would walk too. So, because it'll be connected to the Classic Center. So you've already got that deck. You got the courthouse deck. You know, you've got all the other decks downtown and you would have people, walking from the neighborhoods too, possibly. So he said he thinks he only needs 300 parking spaces.
Wow.
And the multimodal center is right there as well. So, you could probably do shuttles or, people could take the bus. I mean.
Shuttles would be a great idea.
Or ride the elevator.
Right. So, but that, I mean, that's going to be a controversial thing, and, the vote's not coming up for another year. It's next November, and the project list isn't going to be ready for 6 months. But, I mean, now is the time when people are submitting stuff, and I think the deadline is coming up next month for people to submit ideas. And so then we'll have a big list with a lot of stuff on, and then there will be a citizens committee that's going to narrow it down, and then it'll go to the commission that will make the final decision of what actually goes on it. And then the voters get to decide whether to continue the tax.
What do you say?
I'm not clear. Will the very first list just be everything?
The first list will be everything.
Well, I guess
everything that's been submitted, which could be, I mean, who even knows? and then the citizens committee is going to have to go through all that stuff, and they're going to have to whittle it down to, it probably won't be... If I remember right, I think last time, they did it sort of in stages where they cut it down to like X and then they cut it down a little more, and there were like different, stages to it, so.
And then the commission did the final whacking.
Yeah, and the Classic Center last time was left off, and the commission put it back on, and that was like the last thing that made it. So
how much was that, the Classic Center last time?
I want to say it was like 20 or 25 million, I think.
Because I want to add that to the 75 million or 73 million jail just to.
Yeah. Well, that's why they did a 9-year SPLOS last time, because they had the jail and the Classic Center, and that was, you know, whatever, $90-100 million, just the two of those things.
Just a couple of things squeeze out many other things.
Right.
Those are big dollar items.
Oh,
certainly.
Yeah.
Well, where did you say we stand now, Blake? Right now, over 500 million?
Well, just it was 500 million, yeah. Just from within the county government.
Just right. The wish list right
yeah.
now.
And I mean,
that's not the whole wish list. That's
no.
just
partial wish
list. Right.
Well, and that just goes to show you, I mean, just how much stuff there is out there that needs to be done that we don't have the money for, you know?
Right. It's really sobering when you look at it like that.
Yeah. And a lot of it's really basic stuff, too. I mean, there's not a whole lot of frills in there. You know, maybe the park stuff, you could argue, but I mean, at the same time, like Bishop Park, you know, nothing's really been done with that since it was built 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it needs some work.
Just some basic updates.
Yeah.
40 years of use, and it gets used.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's busy.
Yeah.
I want to go back and say, well, we should look at stuff that we have spent a bunch of money on that we'd spent foolishly. But I can't, I mean, you can make an argument about the jail that came online just as the first reforms were coming along. But
hindsight's 20/20 on that one.
Yeah. And I can't think of anything else I would raise either.
Maybe the airport. Although, I mean, I think there's a good argument to be made that that's kind of an economic development thing, you know, that, I mean, I've been told that companies won't even look at you if you don't have an airport. Because the CEO wants to be able to fly his private jet in and go visit the plant and fly back out the same day. But I don't know. I mean, it does a good business with general aviation, but the fact that we don't have an airline just kind of makes people be like, why are we spending money on the airport again?
But it is being used.
Mm-hmm. In hopes of getting an airline, partly.
Right. Yeah, but who knows if that'll ever happen.
Right.
I will say, as we're running out of time, that we just had our jazz festival at Bishop Park, and it was a great location. We couldn't do it at our regular location here at the Georgia Center, so we had it there, and it was nice. But, you know, the bathrooms could be updated. I mean, there are things that,
right.
there are things that, you know, I could see some improvements, but it was nice to be able to have it there. And thanks to the county for working with us for that.
Oh, and we went to the Balloon Fest on Saturday, and that was man, there were like...
They shut the park
everybody
down.
Everybody was there, like
right.
everyone. It was crazy how many people were there. Right. But if we have 20 seconds, I want to hype another event, too. We were talking about the chief earlier, and there's going to be a... There's going to be a discussion about the situation with the chief and the police department on next Thursday at Hendershot's at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'm going to be moderating that with Mocha Johnson from the Anti-Discrimination Movement and Blaine Williams.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, Blake. I think that there will be a lot of interest there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the last word today, Blake. That's only because Gwen is not here. I do want to thank my guests, Maggie Holland, Blake Odd, and Lee Shearer. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, the Banner Herald, or the Red and Black. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.